paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
I was telling this the story that I was looking online because I knew that the Chicago bridge is under construction, and I thought, boy, you know what? I've got this great illustration in my den of Chicago's bridges, and how beautiful they are, and how cool they are, and all unique unto themselves. And there are 18 Chicago bridges along the Chicago River, and right now, as I said, that bridge is under construction. The Jackson Boulevard Bridge just turned 100. There's actually a 100 club. Roger, of bridges, so you know which ones have turned 100 years old, essentially.
Really?
Already, yep, there's a little club.
Was there a birthday party?
There might have been a party.
I didn't get an invite. What's going on
what
here?
What is going on? What is going on? But there's only one guy in Chicago that really knows all the history, and that is engineer Jim Phillips, who's really an expert at our bridges in and around the city and has a very cool website called ChicagoLoopBridges.com, and he joins us live in studio tonight. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening.
Nice to have you, man. Great website. I love the website.
Thank
Very
you.
Educational. There are 18 historic bridges along the river in Chicago, all of them that have their own story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, to kind of clarify a little bit, there's actually 35 that the city operates. 18 of them happen to be downtown here.
Happen to be downtown. Gotcha. And our city has the most movable bridges in the entire world, don't we?
That's the claim.
Okay, that's the claim. Okay,
the world is a big place.
Yeah,
but yeah, we have a number of them for sure.
What's the oldest bridge in the Chicago area?
Well, the oldest movable bridge is at Cortland Avenue, and that was put in 1902. It no longer moves.
Okay,
but that was the first generation Chicago type bascule bridge.
And I mean, the reason why our bridges move is because you got to keep those riverways clear, correct?
Right,
I mean, obviously,
right.
And you got to be able to get the
maritime law says that, you know, when you have a navigable waterway, then it's the municipality's responsibility to make sure that's clear, because the navigation interests have right of way.
Sure.
Okay, and so that's why Chicago is basically in a low lying swampy area. And high fixed bridges didn't make sense, so they needed to come up with a successful movable bridge design.
With a plan.
Yeah.
And we've designated these bridges that have hit a century as part of a 100 club. How many have turned 100 already?
We've got, if you want to count the ones that still operate, then we've got about 9 or so of those.
Okay, 9. Okay. But the ones that don't, that are still around,
right.
There's
right.
a lot more of those, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. There are some fascinating facts about the bridges on your site, too, and I want to start with some of the questions, most common questions people ask. There's an outboard sidewalks on the lower deck of the DuSable Bridge on Michigan Avenue. When were those added? Those weren't always there.
No, they weren't. And those came into play in the 1970s, sometime in the 1970s.
Okay. And why is that?
I think what they were inboard prior to that, and you know when they started wanting to have more traffic, it made more sense to put the sidewalks on the outside of the trusses rather than being on the inside.
What bridge has the lowest clearance on the Chicago River?
It's my understanding that DuSable is.
It is that one.
Yeah.
It is that
yeah.
one as well. So this is the Michigan Avenue Bridge
right.
is what we're talking
right.
about, which I crossed today, and my 3-year-old kept looking between the cracks like looking, making sure, our dad, are we stable
right.
on this bridge? Yes, yes, we are. We are safe. It is good to cross. Does the temperatures in the city affect the bridges at all, and the expansion, contraction
yes.
of some of these bridges? It does.
Yeah, it does, and in fact, it's, yeah. Right now, they're seasonally operated, so wintertime, you know, they're not generally operated, so
sure.
that's not a big deal, but when it starts to warm up, then you can have thermal expansion, and in some cases, they actually are able to raise them, but they're not able to get them back down.
Oh, because they've expanded.
Because they've expanded.
Wow.
And that's when you see the fireboat come out and hose them down a little bit so that they can actually get them down and locked in place again.
Now, there were bridges. There's these little bridge, what do they call them, the bridge houses or the bridge?
Mm-hmm.
The bridge houses. Okay. did people used to live in some of those?
I don't believe, you know, if you go back to the 1800s and you look at some of the swing bridges that were in effect at that period of time, they may have lived in them. But our current bridges, it's more like shift work.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it's firemen, you know, you're there, you know, overnight and you may catch a nap or two, but but you don't get your mail there.
But there are there people that are operating those out of those houses still to this day?
Well, depends on where you're at. On the Calumet, that's still a 24/7 kind of on-demand operation. So yes, down there on that particular section of river, there is somebody there all the time. Here on the Chicago River, it's not on demand. It's on a scheduled basis. So there's only somebody in the houses to raise and lower the bridge, and then once that job is done, then they move on. So
I'm assuming you've been in some of these. What is it like inside there? I mean, is it pretty vintage looking, I would assume?
Yeah. The ones that I have been in, it's like going back in time a little bit.
Wow.
You know? The one that has been really kind of refurbished. Well, the one at Wells has been nicely refurbished. Obviously, that's the one that was recently rebuilt a couple of years ago. But the one at Lake Street is one that really, I mean, those poor houses are kind of sad from the outside, but on the inside, that one's pretty cool. You feel like you're stepping back to the 1916.
Because people think about that when we talk about it all the time when we go across the bridges. It's one of the most common questions is when you look at there, it's like, wow, what is it? Like, I want to see pictures of what's in there. I want to understand, like, what life was like, I guess, at the time when they were doing
some
of that.
Well, it's not quite the same thing,
but
there is a bridge house that's open to the public from the middle of May to the end of October, and that's the Bridge House Museum, the McCormick Bridge House and Chicago River Museum, which is the Southwest Bridge House at DuSable.
Okay.
And when you can go through the entire bridge house, you can be down in the gear room when the bridge is raised, so you can see that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
It's a little disappointing when you climb all the way to the top. There's no equipment up there that
anymore.
Will allow you to raise and lower that particular bridge. That would cost a little more money.
I would think so. I would think that would be a little bit more of an experience. But you know what, though? That's kind of what I think people, especially those who live in Chicagoland and in the suburbs, you know, there's so many touristy things to do, but those are really, like I always talk about the architectural boat tour, but to be able to tour these bridge houses, and I will talk about your tours in a little bit because you tour some of these bridges, that's what's really unique about this city, that it's so educational for you to do. I mean, and walk around and experience yourself. People don't do enough of that, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
What is one of the widest bridges?
Let's see. That would be...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That would be either Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. Columbus is a wider bridge. And State Street's a wide bridge.
Okay. Longest?
Longest is...
the Columbus, maybe?
Columbus and Wabash, I think, are tied.
Now... is there a heaviest one? I would assume maybe Lakeshore Drive,
Drive.
Okay.
Yep.
Just because of the activity that's on that bridge? Okay. What's the newest bridge? Because I have to assume that we've got all these ones that belong in the 100 Club. What is the newest one?
The newest one is at Randolph Street.
Okay.
That was put in 1984.
Okay. Okay. And I'm assuming Lakeshore Drive sees the most vehicles,
right?
Obviously. Most people crossing it every day, physically crossing a bridge.
That's Madison.
Okay. Makes sense.
Jackson,
for the loop.
Anywhere along either Ogilvy and Union Station, that's where you're going to see the big increase in pedestrian traffic.
What is the one that is probably most photographed, that when we see a representation of the city, besides looking down the Chicago River and seeing all of them like we did on the Bob Newhart show in the early 70s, what's the most photographed one?
DuSable.
DuSable
is by far the most photographed.
Now, what equipment do they use to actually raise these bridges? Like, how are they actually raised? Like, when you see them in the summertime up, it's just so fascinating to me.
Right. Well, they're all driven by electric motors, relatively small. They're about anywhere from 100 to 125 horsepower or so. And the secret is the fact that they're basically balanced seesaws, so it doesn't take a whole lot of outside energy to move them. So the motors are adequate in terms of the horsepower, but they need a little help with the torque, and so that's why they have kind of a granny gear, okay, like you would have on your four-wheel drive.
So they've always been operated electronically? Electrically.
Yeah. The ones that you see in place today are.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. What's the average travel time for a boat to travel through these bridges? Because I have to imagine that they know when they're coming through, they're going to have to stop, bridges get raised, or they do it just a little bit in advance to get them going.
Well, it's really kind of, the city kind of calls the shots on that, and they say, we're going to start here, and we're going to start here at this time, be there or
okay.
Or miss it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so then once they start the process, they're kind of committed to go through, and it's usually one at a time. And so the city will raise the bridge, boats come through, that one goes down, and then, you know, they come to the next one, and they'll raise that when, you know, everything is in sync. Okay, so in your question about how long it takes on a good run, furthest yacht yard is at Ashland Avenue on the South Branch. And if you can get through in about 3 hours, that's good. There are some. I actually was on one that took a little longer. We started about 9 o'clock at Ashland, and we exited. We were actually pulling into the slip at DuSable Harbor at about 7 o'clock at night.
Very cool. Wow.
You're, kind of invested. It's
sure.
Kind of like getting through the gates at security at the airport.
Now, I've seen barges parked underneath some of these bridges. Is that just from a construction standpoint? Is that for maintenance? Like, what is it? Okay.
Maintenance mostly maintenance. Yeah, you'll see a number of them now on the Riverwalk, and they're part of that construction project.
And I know they're inspected a couple times a year. There's some power washing that's done. Painting is about every decade, probably.
Every 10 is what they say they try to do.
And that's the CDOT. That's the Chicago Department of Transportation that handles all these bridges. Now, what I always see on the tours is there's these like little lights underneath the bridge right in the center. There's a little center light. Mm-hmm. What is that for?
Those are navigation lights. And,
okay.
And what's supposed to, you know, red is go, red is stop, green is go. And what's supposed to happen is when the bridge goes up, then the light turns green. I'm not sure that happens anymore.
Okay.
They're certainly red.
Yeah.
But as far as them turning green, it's gotcha. Not something I've seen recently.
Gotcha. Now tell me a little bit about your tours that you do.
They're fairly – the ones that are the most fun are trying to coordinate a tour with the boat runs.
Okay.
Okay. And so we start, you know, wherever people feel like they want to start, and we just follow – along the river as the boats proceed through the lift.
So that's the one you really want to do.
That's the one I think most people really like, because at some point, whenever you do this tour, you know, I very rarely do 18 bridges, because, you know,
that's a lot of time.
There's a point by which everybody says, okay, I get it, it's a bridge, let's move on.
Okay, gotcha.
No matter how enthusiastic you are, you come to that point.
And the McCormick Bridge House tours, that's a museum, so to speak.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so when I incorporate those, what we do is we talk about the machinery that operates the bridge, and then we go through that particular museum, because that's a museum run by Friends of the Chicago River, and it's about the history of Chicago and the Chicago River. So it really ties in nicely with the bridges. So.
And if you want to know more about Jim and these tours, visit chicagoloopbridges.com, and you can find out all the information there. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fascinating stuff. All right.